been lately, Ani.
You have been.
I really have. So, okay, I just want to say, you're thinking, I don't have money to contribute to another nonprofit. I don't have that money. But I'm saying, if you went out and got a half rack of PBR tall boys, dog, you spent $20. And that wasn't even good for yolk. It wasn't good for yolk.
And it's not even tasty. I'm just going to put that out there.
PBR with one of those really dark Australian beers, and you mix them together. See, what I'm saying is, it's about how you organize your life. Okay?
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's about the choices you make. And you can make the choice to invest in this radio station. It's totally doable. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. Back to the show.
Rose City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KABU, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KABU. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com or call 503-231-8032 extension 221 and speak with Aaron.
KABU would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Noah Halal, a Mediterranean cuisine food cart at the corner of Southwest 10th and Washington Avenue in Portland. Noah Halal serves Greek and Middle Eastern food and are open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. Dinner was provided by Holy Mole, a food cart that serves Mexican mole located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KABU, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Portland.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part of by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Portland Underground Graduate School. Creates racial lifelong learning opportunities that work for everyone's real lives. For more information, please visit www.pugspdx.com. That's www.pugspdx.com.
Hey y'all, you're listening to Pacific Underground, a show by and for Asians and Pacific Islanders here on KBOO FM in Portland. I'm your host, Kat Batuigas. For today's show, I talked to Carmel Laurino, founder of Calzada Coffee Company. Carmel is Filipino-American, born in the Philippines and raised in Washington State, but she's primarily been based in the Philippines for the last several years. Calzada Coffee is a social enterprise. They work with Philippine coffee farmers to bring specialty coffee to the rest of the Philippines and the world. Many of us in the Pacific Northwest love coffee. We're no strangers to the best of third wave coffee from all over the world. Ethiopia, Honduras, Indonesia, Colombia. Coffee grown from these countries aren't that hard to find at a shop nearby. But have you ever seen coffee from the Philippines as well? Did you know they grow coffee in the Philippines? The answer is yes, and we'll get into that. But first, Carmel and I talk a little bit about her story and how Calzada Coffee came about.
My name is Carmel Laurino, and I am the founder of Calzada Coffee. We're a social enterprise based in the Philippines and also headquartered in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle And I grew up in central Washington in a small town called Sela, right outside of Yakima. I was born in Cebu, and my family immigrated to the U.S. when I was 7.
I thought you were born and raised in Seattle for some reason.
Yeah.
I clearly got that wrong. But is your family still in Washington?
Yeah, so my parents and my siblings, I'm the youngest of 4, they're all in Seattle now. So we all went to the University of Washington. That's sort of the, you know, if I didn't get into UW, I think my family would have disowned me. But also as an immigrant family, you know, I didn't know of any other schools because my parents didn't grow up here. Oh, I grew up there since I'm in Manila right now. So my viewpoint of what college was going to be was really influenced by my older siblings. And I would say my formative years definitely are in Seattle. Seattle is home. My siblings all live there now. And then my parents are also living in Seattle. So you could say, you know, Seattle's the city I call home, even though I grew up in central Washington.
Gotcha. Shout out to Seattle.
Yeah, 206.
Could you talk a little bit more about Calzada Coffee, basically how that got started and what you all are doing currently?
Sure. So the inception of Calzada really began in 2006, I would say. Didn't have a name yet, but I was still an undergrad at the University of Washington. And I was doing a senior thesis project on a bit about the history of the Filipino and Filipino-American community and the diaspora at the turn of the century for a history project. And primarily my focus was on the students that ended up at the University of Washington. So I went through a lot of archival yearbooks, seeing who they were, what organizations they were a part of. And another part of that was also researching on the indigenous communities, the Igorots that arrived as part of the Alaska-Yukon Pacific Exposition of 1909, which is now the location of the main campus of the University of Washington. So that's sort of where the impetus started, because the Alaska-Yukon Exposition was in 1909, so I was doing research in the archives at Suzzalo Library, and a picture that popped up with search term was this black and white photo of the Filipino Coffee Company, which was in Pike Place Market. These merchantmen in the photo, I think there are 3 or 4 of them, were roasting coffee from the Philippines. I believe it was coffees from Batangas. There were bags of coffee. There was even Walis Tambol, which is this broom that's well known from Baguio up north here. And then there was even a sign for some cacao, some chocolate. So I was really fascinated by this photograph. And a lot of questions just arose from just that one photo. And I was like, wow, this is what, 60 years before Starbucks. What happened to this group of men? Would, if they would have stayed in Pike Place Market, would Starbucks have served Filipino coffee? Is there still coffee grown in the Philippines? And so the curiosity sort of got the best of me from just this one photo. But I put it on the back burner since, you know, I had to graduate school and do a bunch of other things in between, but I couldn't get it out of my system. And in 2010, I came back to the Philippines on a Fulbright Hayes language program. And my host family for that summer took me to a coffee farm on a weekend trip in Cavite. And I saw, you know, a coffee farm firsthand, and it's like, wow, this still exists. And I got to drink coffee on the farm, meet the owners, and I tasted the coffee, and it wasn't the best I've ever had. Actually, it wasn't very good. And I was like, oh no, maybe this is the reason why they're not exporting coffee from the Philippines anymore. But instead of being disheartened by the whole thing, now that I knew coffee still grew in the country, I kind of was like, okay, this just can't be it. There's got to be more. How do I find out more? And then returned back to Seattle, just left that again. And then in 2012, started exploring it a bit further. And that's when I started sort of just this blog, this online space for me to kind of think through what it would be like to explore coffee. And being part of this growing movement, and also in the Pacific Northwest, we enjoy seasonal things, and we are very much wanting to know where our food comes from, right? It was like part of like restaurant menus. There's farmers markets everywhere. And then we drink a lot of coffee. So it wasn't hard to involve some friends to explore this with me. Some were Filipino Americans, of course, and some weren't. They were just interested in how a coffee farmer gets their coffee from the Philippines and how it could arrive in Seattle. So we started just kind of thinking of this online space and just exploring what it would be, created a mission vision and branding around that, and sort of spiraled from there. And in the fall of 2013, I ended up moving to the Philippines, but mostly to explore and take on that inquisitive hat and really meet farmers, right? And understand more of what their gaps are, what they're thinking about their coffee, who do they sell it to, but with no intentions of really creating a company at that point. I just wanted to listen. I just wanted to hear and travel and see the different areas of where coffee was grown. So 4 years later, here we are.
You are listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Community Radio here in fabulous Cascadia. That would be a lovely, particularly idyllic part of the Pacific Northwest. My name's Lisa. We're passing the hat for KBOO Community Radio. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Make an investment in this radio station. We love it when people come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. We're right along the number 20 bus. There's parking outside for cars, and there's also an awesome headphone-shaped bike rack, because that's who we are, that's who you are, and we're waiting for you. We're waiting for you over here at KBOO, 877-500-5266. I love Pacific Underground because I feel like I was there when people were giving birth to this brainchild. This is a show that came from an alliance of minds here at KBOO. People who came together and said, there ought to be a show. That's how we work. 877-500-5266. When you give us a call and you make an investment in that radio, in these radio airwaves, that money goes into, in a large part, trainings for everyday people like you to do programming that informs the world about important issues like coffee. I just want to say coffee's really important. This show's about coffee today. We're listening to the Pacific Underground. We're about to go back to the show. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And we're waiting for you. Come on, back to the show.
So let's maybe talk a little bit more about Calzada. Who else is involved in Calzada? Who's in the team? And how was that formed?
Sure. My now co-founder, Lacey Audrey, was roasting for Kutum and also finishing her master's at the American University in Paris on international development, specifically looking at the unsustainable development of the coffee industry in Vietnam. So she had, you know, the research and background knowledge of coffee as well as the cafe and roasting side experience. So it was great to touch base with her. So her and I didn't meet in person until we both decided to move to the Philippines about, 9 months into the conversation. So initially I tapped her to write an article, our blog, to talk about the Paris coffee scene. And then one thing led to the other. And so we started seeing ways in which we could explore the Philippine coffee industry. And so she's our co-founder. And then when I first moved here, Tere Domini, who is our now country director, was a student of my sister, and she is finishing her master's in genetic counseling. And so I met her, and she spoke Ilocano, and I needed someone to go with me to Sagada and tour these different areas. And I knew language would be a barrier to getting to understand deeper what the communities and farmers were thinking about their product. And so I really needed her as a guide so that I could get a deeper understanding on what was going on in the industry from the grassroots perspective, right? So it was first an exploration, and she's been with us since Calzada's formation on the ground here in the Philippines. And then we have Ricky, who is our office admin person. But she also started off as just part of the Calzada team, in that her and her boyfriend were big Calzada fans and would drink our coffee, would go to the communities with us. And so when we found an opportunity that fit her skill sets, she joined the team. And then Kay is our sales and customer relations officer here in the Philippines. She's trained as a barista, so she handles all of our Philippine-based clients, wholesale clients, and also subscriptions. And then we have Ivy, who is our field officer in Mindanao when we started doing coffee there just this past year. And she also started off as a big Calzada fan and would go with us to the farms, and we're excited to have her on the team. So we're a all-women team. There's six of us now, and we have various backgrounds and love for coffee and community. So that's us.
So kind of talking about coffee in the Philippines, if someone were to ask you what is Philippine coffee, what do people drink in the Philippines? How would you respond or describe that?
Sure. If you ask a Filipino what Philippine coffee is, they'll say it's, you know, matapang, it hits you in the gut, it's barako. And if it were us, we would say that, yes, there is that particular taste profile that people associate with Philippine coffee, which is Liberica, and darkly roasted, and that's what people grew up drinking. But there's also so many things that have yet to be explored in terms of Philippine coffee, and that's what we're trying to uncover in Calzada, is processes that may not have been introduced yet at the farm level, and research and fermentation and production that can unearth a lot more different profiles. So there has been very little work in terms of uncovering the rich history and varietals that's available here. So we're just like at the tip of the iceberg in terms of figuring out what that is. And for us, in what we have currently produced with our producers, our coffee partners here in the Philippines, are in Benguet, the profiles are drastically different than the coffees that we produce in Bukidnon, you know. So in Bukidnon, the coffees we're procuring and processing have a very stone fruit, peaches, really citrusy. And up north in Benguet, you do get the citrus notes with like a sweet, ripe calamansi. But as well, you get, you know, some of that chocolate and very tropical fruit flavors like pineapple. So it sort of varies, and we're excited to explore what that Philippine coffee profile is, but perhaps it's also going to be multiple different kinds of profiles, right? Which is really cool.
Yeah. So Liberica, is that Barako?
Yes, Liberica is Barako, which is another type of coffee.
And
which is, they're still grown here, and I believe certain areas like Cavite, even in Maguindanao, we have a friend working with Liberica farmers there. And it's a growing industry, but it's also, I feel like, could use some more love and research from the public sector here.
Yeah, that's super interesting. When I was growing up in Davao, which is in the southern part of the Philippines, for those who aren't familiar, I was younger, so I didn't really drink a whole lot of coffee, but the coffee that I was familiar with, that my family or just the people around me would drink, probably was just, the very readily, commercially available, I don't know, Nescafe or whatever.
Yes, 3-in-1.
Uh-huh. And Baraco was something that I had definitely heard about, but I think I really only associated that with, a certain region of the Philippines, so in Luzon, more in the north. And mm-hmm. I also knew that it was supposed to be strong, but I don't think I had ever actually tried it. I don't know if it was available in Davao at the time, or maybe it was, but I just, wasn't really drinking coffee, so I wouldn't know. But I do agree that, this is, I think a lot of Filipinos in the Philippines are aware of Baraco, but I don't know if we know a whole lot about it. Yeah, I think it would be, it makes sense to kind of explore that more and just find out what the sort of potential is in that.
Yeah, definitely.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa. This is Pacific Underground. And of course, if you're tuning in right now, this is our fabulous spring membership drive. We only have a spring membership drive when it's really beautiful and positive outside, right? 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Invest in these radio stations, airwaves. And I want to say, this is News and Public Affairs Day. We've got a $3,000 match for new and increasing donors. So today, when you become a new member of KBOO, or if you increase your monthly donation, your contribution is matched dollar per dollar up to $3,000. Thanks to KBOO members who donated towards this matching fund to encourage you to join them and us. It's an us thing. Make history, support KBOO, support Pacific Underground. Again, when you're listening to this show, I need you to give us a call, 877-500-5266, because Pacific Underground is a collective of individual human beings who decided that there should be programming about what's going on in Pacific Rim communities and Asian American people in the United States. And so this group of people got together, they got training, they created this show. That's what KBOO is all about. It's about doing it. It's about getting the stuff done. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And, I really super want to encourage people to come in person to make your contribution for this show. 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland. That's where we are. Because a lot of times, people who come in to make their contribution, they stay. They look around. They see when the volunteer orientation is. They see the sign up for all of the skills that you can learn. That's what we're raising money to do right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Go online, kboo.fm. And I also want to say, KBOO Pickin' Appreciation Party is coming up. It's the Bluegrass Fundraiser for KBOO Community Radio featuring music from the True Vine. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that the next time I get a chance to talk with you. But the thing is, 877-500-5266 Pacific Underground. This is what we do. We get together, we build stuff, right? And a lot of it comes straight from you. It comes straight from your mind, right? Especially when you become a volunteer or a sustaining member. That's what we're asking you to do. By the way, we have a really cool new t-shirt. I'm putting that out. That t-shirt's available for a $75 annual pledge. That's $6.25 per month. That's a half rack of PBR on sale. So as you're sitting there, you're thinking, I don't have money to share. Think about what you spend money on. Think about what it's investing in. And I want to suggest to you, you're investing in yourself and your own future when you give us a call at KBOO, 877-500-5266.
I've had some really good Baraco, the Birka, and I just don't know what we're looking for yet, right? Because it's a whole other beast, if you would say we're tackling a certain type of coffee. There's so much to learn about Arabica. There's different kinds here that are like Typica, Bourbon. We also have Catemoir. And so there's so much to learn within just that one category. Trying to wrap our heads around Liberica at this point in time doesn't really make sense yet, but I'm really excited for some of our friends in the industry that are tackling that head on and sharing that hopefully with our coffee fans eventually. You know, maybe it's the next Calzada offering, who knows?
Yeah, that would be really exciting. And I think that kind of is a nice sort of segue into just talking about the global, I guess, specialty coffee industry. Where is the Philippines in relation to that? You know, when I get coffee here, or just, you know, basically most places in the U.S., countries like Ethiopia and Guatemala, maybe Colombia, Peru, those are all, I think, pretty familiar or easy to find around here. But I think we hardly ever see a coffee from the Philippines. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah, that's sort of why I wanted to explore this, right? Like growing up drinking coffee, but also then moving to Seattle, drinking coffee throughout college and after undergrad, and you know, coffee shops around the corner. And so when I saw that photo, I was like, oh, you know, it was around that time when that traceability and single origin lots were sort of now at the forefront of direct trade. All those labels were beginning to surface in the various cafes that I was going to in Seattle. I was like, huh, why can't I find Philippine coffee as well? And currently, the Philippines is a net importer of coffee. We're a big coffee drinking country. There was a time when we had enough produced to export. And that was around that time that photo was taken. But then the history, it gets a little bit hazy after that. And what happened to the industry, people say, you know, the Department of Agriculture and focus on other vegetations and fruits, and then there was a coffee crash in the late 90s that affected production in the Philippines. But even then, we weren't really exporting a whole lot of coffees. And so right now, we don't show up on any of the coffee map. And so the a long-term goal for Calzada is really to highlight and be able to bring back Philippine coffee on the international stage through a very quality-driven and community-based approach, where our producers and the communities we work with and individuals we work with are also a part of that endeavor, right? So we're doing it slowly on the West Coast. It's kind of hard thing to do when we're here in the Philippines, but it helps that, you know, I can come back and forth and try to at least once a year in order to meet our customers and our fans. And it really starts from there, I think, getting people excited about our origin. And we've had some really great love from the Filipino American community. I think they're excited to see and proud to see Philippine coffee on shelves in the US and have an affinity and connection to that origin. So we want to be able to provide that to fellow Filipino Americans, but also expand that to the whole, you know, US and if not, you know, other parts of the world as well.
Yeah. Why don't we kind of circle back to just the work that Calzada is doing in the Philippines. Could you tell us a little bit about the local communities that you work with at Calzada?
Sure. Primarily, we work in two regions, Benguet, which is up north in the Cordillera region. It's about, I would say, 5 hours from Metro Manila. And the other community we work with is in Bukidnon, which is about an hour plane ride south into Mindanao. And then from there, maybe another 4 or 5 hour trip as well. And up north in Benguet, we work specifically in Sitio Belis. There's about 75 smallholder farmers involved in that community. We're super close to them. They're our first initial
farmer group that we worked with and engaged with in 2014. We have now built a community-based washing station there, which we raised funding for through Kickstarter in early 2015. And so we're super hands-on in that community. Dede lives there 6 months out of the year. We're not only telling them what to do with their coffee, but we're really there to build that that quality and taste and profile alongside them, right? It's like that knowledge sharing and knowledge transferring. But we're also learning ourselves in terms of community building and really understanding the needs of the community and also of the land itself and trying to improve year after year. And in Bukid Nun, we work in this community called Panantukan. There, it's a cooperative that we work with, and it's a much larger area. They don't produce as much coffee as they do up north in Sitio Balis, and this past harvest was our initial year. So we're learning ways in which to work with that community too, because it's not replicatable, right? One, the language is different. Up north, they speak Ilocano. In the south, they speak Cebuano. And also, the terrain is different. The type of coffee is different. So you can't treat the communities the same. And so we're also just starting to learn how to build quality in that area, but also work with that community.
All right, you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. This is our super special spring membership drive. You know what to do, 877-500-5266 is the number to call to make an investment in this. This is an incredible show, Pacific Underground. This is an original interview that a KBOO volunteer has done with someone who's growing coffee in the Philippines, talking about the development of a coffee infrastructure and the ability to empower people with an industry producing something that is going to keep us going. I just want to say, coffee, yes. Anyway, 877-500-5266. This show, Pacific Underground, is a perfect example of KBOO handing the microphone to people. For the past 50 years, right, we try to make sure that the people in this building have access to the airwaves to tell stories about people, places, and things that you've probably never heard of before. We don't hear a lot of reporting coming out of the Philippines, especially not something that's positive, talking about economic development by actual people. That's incredible, right? This is the kind of thing that I'm talking about. It's radio that builds, all right? 877-500-5266. Make a contribution to this radio station. We have volunteers that do incredible programming that empowers communities all over the world. I'm putting that out. We do music. We do public affairs. Not only that, we actually will train you in how to be a journalist. We'll train you in how to, you know, engineer live music, a big thing. Music programming is going to be starting. No, this is News and Public Affairs Day. Woot! We're just going to be learning all day, right? Which is what we do at KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Go online. We're at kboo.fm. Don't forget the gift memberships, right? Gift memberships. If you're already a member, you're already donating to the radio station, consider giving a gift to a kid, right? Youth memberships are a thing. We also have gift memberships for incarcerated people. Believe it or not, people who are incarcerated at the penitentiary in Sheridan, we actually have programming that's around incarcerated people, right? We have volunteers who have gone to the prisons and done workshops and recorded people. All of these things, that's where your money goes when you give us a call, 877-500-5266. Listen, we need you to walk your squawk. Back to the programming.
I guess I'm just a little curious about how, you know, you kind of figured out that this was the model you wanted to pursue and the way in which you wanted to work with these communities. Did you sort of just decide that on your own, or did it, you know, was it more of a trial by error type of thing?
Yeah, so my undergrad was in international studies and poli sci, and I minored in human rights and was super really involved in the communities in the Asian American communities in Seattle, and really saw the grassroots perspective and community organizing as, you know, part of who I was in the Northwest. And so, like, transplanting that in the Philippine context to me was interesting approach that I wanted to parallel. And also my master's degree was in strategic design and management from Parsons. So when I was doing that, I really wanted to kind of approach it from a design thinking approach to, you know, like journey mapping the farm and the farmer and what their understanding was of the industry, what gets them from point A to B, and how does Calzada involve themselves in the middle. So all of that rolled into one, created this model for how we wanted to work and be part of the communities. So it was coming from multiple perspectives, but we thought it's not something that doesn't also exist in other coffee growing countries, right? It's not something unique and distinct that's just different and new. It exists in other areas, but it is, the Calzada model is new and distinct in terms of the Philippine context.
Was it 2013, you said, when you mm-hmm. moved to the Philippines?
Yeah.
So when you made the decision to move, what was your family's response, or, you know, your friends, your family? What did they say? What did they think about it?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think they weren't surprised by it. It wasn't the first time I had explored coming back to the Philippines. I had lived here for 6 months prior to this, doing an internship post-college, doing work with an organization that was doing population and development studies. And so I thought that was my into understanding and learning more about the Philippines. Maybe this is the work that I needed to do and explore. And I found that you know, when I went into Congress to interview certain people with regards to the research project I was working on at that time, it's not that I was met with resistance, but they were just like, oh, you have an American accent. Did you grow up here? And so it was more about them asking me questions. I'm like, no, I'm the one that's supposed to be asking you questions. And so after that was what, 2008, 2009. Prior to that, I did an internship here through the Philippine Center for Investigative Journalism after I did my Philippine Studies program in 2005. So I had come back and forth and like tested the ground. So when I moved in 2013, my family wasn't surprised at all. They were just wondering how long I would be here and when I would be returning. But it's now 4 years and counting. And I know I'm always gonna be fluid back and forth, but I've spent most of those 4 years here in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. So given that you'd had, you know, quite a bit of experience, I guess, in terms of just being there, living there, actually living life as a local, if you will, when you did the big move, what was it like for you? Was it different in any way compared to the other times that you'd lived in the Philippines prior to that?
It was different, yes, because it was something I was trying to explore and figure out on my own terms, right? It's like Calzada was sort of this, still wasn't a concrete thing. It was still like formulating in my head. And now this woman from Paris, Lacey, my now co-founder, was moving to the country to explore that with me. So it was a manifestation of, I guess, all those years of experience living in the Philippines and then now testing it, right? Like with my own thoughts and ideas of how I wanted to manifest what this like Philippine-US connection would be through coffee. And just a bit of background for the listeners, Calzada means road or street in Filipino. So the name itself I created because I wanted to explore from farm to cup, that journey the coffee takes, the journey the farmer takes in bringing their coffee to market. And also back then, my journey in returning to my parents' homeland. So Calçada was that. It's like this journey, this adventure. It's now like involving like six of us, right? It's like the journey of the entire team and uncovering what the best is in terms of Philippine coffee. And so to your question, that was sort of what was different in that move to the Philippines. I never thought of it. It was like as a big move. It was just, okay, I'm going to be here maybe for a year at most. I brought what was necessary. I had 1 foot in, 1 foot out, but that's also because as an American citizen, or now, I mean, I'm a dual citizen, right? It's the privilege I can leave whenever I want to leave. And so I knew in the back of my head, you know, there was like that conscious choice of whether I should stay or go. And so that move wasn't so scary. I already had created a small amount of network and friends from my previous work while there. So I had a network of folks and it was just like sort of believing in that that vision, mission, whatever that was back then, and then making it into a reality.
Sure. I guess for anyone who ever moves somewhere else from where they're originally from, you always want to, I suppose, find your community. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how that happened for you? What the process was like? Did it take a while? Was it easy?
It wasn't easy, I think, but Manila is a city where you can get into so many different things and meet so many different people. There's ways in which to really find your people, right? And prior to moving here in Calçada, I was known to have a lot of friends. If you told me who my best friend was, I could rattle off like 20 people. So it making friends or like wanting to know individuals came second nature to me. I was really interested in knowing and having deep and meaningful conversations with people. So creating that network and community isn't difficult. I think getting deeper and understanding those individuals and figuring out who you want to hang out with will take time and energy, because Manila is a huge, huge city and traffic's horrendous. So you need to pick and choose and understand how to navigate the city physically in order to really, really be, you know, part of the communities you want to be involved in.
Carmel, you mentioned that you were, you know, 1 foot out or 1 foot in. Did I get that right? 1 foot out,
yes.
1 foot in. Do you still feel that way?
I think in a lot of ways, yes. But I think I feel like I'm both in and out. Does that make sense? That I feel connected both to the Philippines and to the U.S., and that I'm both at the periphery but at the center at the same time. And I think that feeling won't ever go away, but it's about not feeling stagnant when you feel like that seems like it won't move you to places, right? Or you can't get into certain doors because you're not this or you're that. And I think I just have to be conscious of knowing that I'm both and the privileges that allows me to do and for the work that I do to flourish between one world and into the other, right? So yeah, I think it's a feeling that only, no, I don't know if it's just a Filipino-American feeling, but maybe it's when you move here, I can see other Phil-Avs that are visiting, and I know, and I can see that I'm part of that, but I also know I've lived here long enough to know that I wouldn't interact with people in a similar way. So in that sense, I'm like, oh, maybe I'm becoming more Filipino, which I don't know what that means. But in certain regard, I also still feel, especially at the farm level, that I, you know, when they still call me ma'am, that they know I'm not from the farms. So yeah, I think it's just being comfortable with knowing that you won't fully be part of one group or belong to other, but that it provides you with certain privileges and ability because you are part of multiple.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I kind of feel that I am going through a similar sort of reckoning, I guess, with myself and with my identity. I, you know, the idea of being both in and out resonates with me a lot. And maybe it's the opposite sort of, or the other end of the spectrum, where, you know, I have both my Filipino identity, but I've lived here in the United States or sort of outside of the Philippines long enough, and I, both are part of me, and I want to keep both, but it's, you know, it's finding the ways in which I can kind of, I don't know, like harness both, I guess, and kind of, mm-hmm. I know this is going to sound really cheesy, but just unleash the full potential of that sort of identity. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts about that.
All right. And you are tuned into KBOO Portland. This is the Spring Membership Drive. The number to call, 877-500-5266. You are listening to Pacific Underground, which I'm gonna stick my neck out and say this is a fascinating, incredible show that's crafted right here. It's built here. It's conceived here. This is the brainchild of our local community, and that is where your money goes when you pick up your phone and tap 877-500-5266. We're actually hearing a fascinating, positive story and analysis about an emerging economic endeavor in the Philippines around growing coffee. It's like, it's not sensationalized. It's not demonizing anyone. And it's information that can give you an idea for the future. Like, I'm totally going to be looking for delicious coffee from the Philippines. I had no idea that there was an incredible history and that people are reaching out and rebuilding this industry. This is the kind of information that actually does impact your life. It's positive. It's about something you probably use a lot, coffee. And I'm saying we to try to create programming that's meaningful without making people feel like there's the house is on fire. This is a subtle thing. This is a valuable thing. Meaningful, intelligent information that's not clickbaity junk. That's KBOO, 877-500-5266. One of the things that I value the most about KBOO is in this world that is so noisy, there's so many crises. There's a lot of stuff on fire right now. I tune into KBOO and I get a sense of what's really going on. I will listen to community organizers, historic figures, people who are running the emerging coffee industry in the Philippines, and I can hear information right from them, right? I don't have to have it filtered through the Associated Press wire. Not that I'm against the Associated Press wire, but KBOO is so close to the grassroots, right? That's why we're asking you for your support, 877-500-5266. You know, there's a lot of other, you know, I don't know, public radio stations, community radio stations, but KBOO is the grassrootiest. That's where we are. KBOO is the place where everyday people can come in, just take a step up and learn skills for free, okay? That's what you're investing in, 877-500-5266. By the way, I don't know if you've got the KBOO mobile app. There's one for iPhones and there's one for Verizon Android phones. That KBOO app makes it so that if you like to listen to your special favorite show, or if you like to listen to certain kinds of shows, you could just pick up your phone, take a couple finger swipes, and you're listening to your favorite author interview, or you're listening to Teresa Mitchell talk about the news you're not supposed to know. There's so many things that are going on in this building. I really want to encourage people to come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. It's home. Come on down, 877-500-5266. Right on. So we're barreling towards the top of the hour. We're so excited to be here. waiting for someone to make the phones ring. We have the $3,000 match for people who are new or increasing donors. That means if you're already a member, you can become more of a member and your money goes farther. Whoa, someone's sitting around thinking that up. Please give us a call and invest in these airwaves. 877-500-5266. We are heading back to Pacific Underground.
Could you talk a little bit more about what's next for you in terms of, not just in terms of Calzada, but also just personally and professionally, what the sort of future holds, or what you're kind of looking to do more of next?
With regards to the food and beverage industry, I'm really excited for the Filipino food movement, if you will, in the Pacific Northwest. And through that collaboration with the DFA, the Purple Yam team, and the different groups of individuals and food and beverage folks, I was able to help bring together in my small way from afar. We've now created ILAW, which is a coalition of Filipino American food and beverage industry in the Pacific Northwest. So it's a growing team of just a support system, and then we've been doing a lot of pop-ups together, and I'm hoping what it allows for, knowing that I'm here in the Philippines, is that there's this, you know, cross collaboration with what's happening on the ground here and what's happening in the Northwest. I'm actually seeing Aaron and Amber next week. They're in town. They've been exploring the different islands. And then Melissa was just here in early January. So I think it's a good way to hopefully expand my work in beyond just coffee, but also, you know, explore the food side of things in the Philippines, and be able to support the growing Filipino food movement in the much more like informed way as I can, with sharing what I've learned here on the ground. So that's sort of my involvement from afar in terms of food and beverage. And I try to be in Seattle at least once a year for the World Coffee Events. And that's where we'll introduce our new coffees from this past harvest, cup and taste with roasters, and get an understanding for what they like and what they don't like, and then plan for exporting that and be in the U.S. by June or July. And then right now, our coffees from the 2016-2017 harvest can be found in Portland, I believe. Kaino should be starting to roast them. And Southern California, House of Black in San Diego is roasting our coffees. And then in Chicago, one of our earliest clients, Melissa, who's Filipino-American as well, just started roasting for their company, Brew Point. And so they're roasting our coffees out of Elmhurst, which is a suburb of Chicago up north or Midwest. And she's come to the farms already, so that's really exciting. I mean, that's the connection I wanted to create. Aaron's been to the farm, Melissa's been to the farm, and both Melissa's have been to the farm. So I'm excited to be able to connect the producers and also the consumers that support them from the U.S. So yeah, I mean, Calzada connecting the two is sort of gave me goosebumps every time it happens.
Yeah, that's so awesome. We can probably start wrapping up. Carmel, so you mentioned some places where we can find Calzada coffee. Where can we find more information about Calzada and just how to sort of try out the coffees that you have?
Yeah, we're pretty active online. So our website is calzada.com. And then for more behind the scenes on what we're doing at the farm level and here on the ground, we're on Instagram at Calzada Coffee. And yeah, that's sort of, you know, we're that photograph in 1909 was sort of the impetus to all of this. And I wanted to figure out how we could get coffee back to Seattle. And now that it's back in the U.S., it's sort of now forward thinking as to what next, right? It's what does that postcard in 2050 look like? And it's scary to even think about, and I don't really know personally what that looks like, but it's exciting to know that, you know, the questions I wanted to answer with seeing that 1909 photo have been answered, and now we're at a place where we can think about what that future will look like for us.
That is so exciting, and I really can't wait to see more from you and from Calzada too. So yeah, Carmel, thank you so much again for joining us. It's been such a pleasure, and I feel like I've learned so much. So yeah, Carmel, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. It's the last few minutes of Pacific Underground. Run for your phone. Run for that phone. Tap into your phone. 877-500-5266. Invest in these airwaves. Keep space free for learning about people growing coffee in the Philippines. Come on. When was the last time someone came up to you and tried to tell you something that was interesting and positive, that made you feel good, that actually meant something? I bet it was someone at KBOO. 877-500-5266. It's News and Public Affairs Day. Woo! News and Public Affairs Day! Yeah. We're super excited about it. We have a $3,000 match for new and increasing donors. So today, when you become a new member of KBOO, or if you increase your monthly donation, your contribution will be matched dollar per dollar up to $3,000. That's a lot. That's not casual. Come on. We need you to pick up the phone and connect. It's the most important thing you're going to do today. Connect. 877-500-5266. You know, there's a lot of people reaching out for self-help anymore. We got the self-help industry, all that. I want to suggest something to you. What about us help? What about group help? What about helping everyone across a board? It actually does something positive for your mental health. Can you believe it? Pick up the phone and make that positivity happen for you. Share your resources across the board. 877-500-5266. We've been talking a little bit about Pabst Blue Ribbon today, right? I'm going to suggest to you that for the cost of a half rack of PBR, which is about $7 on sale, right? You're going to give us a call, 877-500-5266. I'm going to suggest that you pitch $7 a month. That's enough to get you the Keep Portland Radical new KBOO design t-shirt. $7 a month, that's $84 a year. You're going to get a gift. You're going to be giving us a gift. You're going to be sharing your resources and investing in everybody's future. For real, 877-500-5266, half rack of PBR a month. You're going to get the Keep Portland Radical t-shirt. We're there. Come on. We just need to make these phones ring. We really do. 877-500-5266. Come in person. We're located at 20 Southeast 8th in Portland, Oregon. We love your bright and shining morning face. In 3 minutes, it's going to be your bright and shining afternoon face. We love your afternoon face too. But we want you to come in, ring our cowbell now. 20 Southeast 8th, that's where we're located. Give us a call. 877-500-5266. Give me a reason to ring those bells now. Do it. We have a matching grant for all the people that have never been a KBOO member before. Didn't you want to do something totally new today? Are you the kind of person that wakes up and says, I want to do something I've never done? Give us a call and become a member. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. You can catch us online. We are at KBOO.FM, but we really love it when people come in person. Bring your wallet. We're at 20 Southeast 8th Street in Portland, Oregon. get your contribution matched, meet people in the building, check out our volunteer stuff. Come on, 877-500-5266. I believe it's time for something really cool. You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Rose City Native Radio is looking for folks in the Native community who knew the late, great John Talley, host of Indian World for over 30 years.
My name is John Talley, and I'm the producer of a program called Indian World.
We are currently planning a special to celebrate the 30-plus years of Indigenous programming here on KBOO, and we want to hear your stories of John Talley and programming here at KBOO. If you know anybody in the Native community who would like to tell us a story about John, please email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com or call 503-231-8032 extension 221 and speak with Aaron.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Lunch was provided by Noah Halal, a Mediterranean cuisine food cart at the corner of Southwest 10th and Washington Avenue in Portland. Noah Halal serves Greek and Middle Eastern food and are open 7 days a week, 11 a.m. to 4 a.m. Dinner was provided by Holy Mole, a food cart that serves Mexican mole located 1419 Southeast 33rd Avenue in Portland on Southeast 33rd and Hawthorne down the alleyway. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
KBOO Portland.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Friday, April 27th, 2018. Thousands of protesters gathered at the border of the Gaza Strip today for the fifth week of Friday protests. The demonstration is called the Great Return March and is meant to bring attention to the fact that millions of Palestinians are imprisoned in the Gaza Strip, unable to return to their homes in what is now Israel. Palestinians make up the largest refugee population on earth. Israeli troops again opened fire on the unarmed protesters as they have done each Friday since the protests began on